Hello, hello, hello. Ooh,
oh,
it
yay.
is.
Perfect.
Okay.
Hello. Welcome to our podcast.
Hello.
Welcome to our podcast. This is a great time.
This is a podcast.
This is a podcast.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, how, I don't even want to ask how you've been this week. Lord.
Okay. I'm surviving, not thrive. Well, I don't know. I feel like I'm starting my reputation era.
Yes, I agree.
And like for the record, Allison knows what's going on with me. I'm not able to say it publicly. I might start like a close friends Instagram story and like only like the people that I was like copying and pasting text messages to this morning, I might just like add everyone in there. And then eventually we will be able to talk about it publicly. Anyways, I'm going through a lot of shit. I have like my job in question, my salary in question, this whole thing that I can't talk about in question, finances in question. So the other episode I did solo, I didn't think things could get worse, but things got worse.
But here we are.
And here we are. And I'm at a point of just saying like, fuck it. Like, I'm just going to be, I'm not going to let like people like walk on all over me. I'm not going to like let people get away with things. I'm going to fight the patriarchy and I'm just going to open my reputation tour and
yeah,
you know, do concerts all over the world.
Well, I mean, if trying to do things like on other people's terms and to like appease other people has gotten you here, it's like, let's try something else now. Let's try to do things like just for Val and just the things that are in my best interest versus like the interests of other people or the interests of like the greater good of something else, you know?
Yeah.
I think that that's like kind of where both of us are at with like MLMs right now too.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. You had your post of kind of like admitting that you're not doing it anymore. I don't know. And I say admitting because it feels like such a scary thing to do because you feel like the ones who are still doing it, like even though they are your friends, you're like worried that they're going to stop talking to you, like resent you, stuff like that. I know I definitely questioned it and still question it. But yeah. So how was that? How was the reactions?
I feel like it was really well received. Like I haven't gotten any negative feedback on it. I will say that like the post didn't get as much attention as like my posts normally do, but like, I don't care about that.
I mean, I think that could have been an algorithm thing because my posts that don't have a face or a graphic do not do well.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's probably, honestly, it's probably just Instagram.
Yeah. And again, like I wasn't posting that just to like get clicks or have people read it or whatever. Like I was posting it to have somewhere on my feed so that when people see, because I'm not going to delete any of my MLM
stuff. Yeah, no.
Like I'm not a person who deletes things on my page unless somebody else is like hurt and offended by them.
Right.
Cause I just see it as sort of like a progression and like a journey and to not have any of, I mean, I was really solidly working for that MLM for 2 years. And so if I just cut out those 2 years of my life, my page wouldn't make any sense. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like the transition into who you are now. And like,
right.
I think that's why me and you are not like anti-MLM people is because like we are able, like I don't know, me and you are always like this, but like we're able to see the positives from it and be like, okay, well, I see that it gave me a passion for social media. I see it gave me a passion for like household things and non-toxic living and it gave me a passion for working out and fitness.
Eating better. Yeah.
Yeah. So I like, and I think me and you are really good at seeing the positives of a lot of situations.
Yeah.
This being one of them. So yeah, I agree that it's like, it's a transition of like who you are today. It's not like some random thing you did. It's not like it didn't matter to you, because it did.
Right. Yeah. And so I feel like I just wanted to have that spot on my feed where, like, if somebody new found my page and they were for some reason to scroll all the way back, they would be able to see that, like, oh, this like isn't something that she's doing anymore. And these are the reasons that she gave. And, you know, I don't know. I feel for the same reasons that you pointed out, I felt nervous to post it. Also because I'm a very, like, I try to make, I mean, we all do. We all try to make the best decision. Like, nobody goes into something thinking like, this is going to cause me some sort of emotional or financial turmoil, right. You know, which in our cases, like, neither of us lost thousands of dollars that we're complaining about. Neither of us, like, somebody, one of my friends commented and said, like, I'm glad that you're turning like your pain into something positive. And I just sort of corrected and was like, I'm not experiencing any pain over this. This is just like a transition I'm going through. Like, I wasn't hurt by this MLM. I wasn't like, there's no pain here. This is just me saying like, I'm not doing this anymore and I need to move on with my life. And I feel like I can't unless I say I'm not doing this anymore, you know?
Yeah. And mine was the same thing. And mine was really just time. Like, I didn't want to spend my time on these calls and messaging and engaging with people that, like, it's not really giving me any benefits from. And I just wanted to spend my time doing something else. It's not like, you know, I was in financial turmoil. If anything, it like made, I think it really broke even.
Same. And for me, I think that like, you and I were very closely aligned on, like, we were doing different MLMs, but we talked a lot about like, hey, what are you doing for Beachbody? I'll like try to bring some of that over into Young Living and like vice versa. Yeah. And I don't know. I think that I got to a point at least with it where I was like, this is so much energy for me to be trying to figure out different ways to like attract people to this thing when I've been talking about it for 2 years and the people who follow my page like know that I'm here for it. And so if they like want to talk more about it, they'll just DM me. Like, I don't need to keep.
Exactly. Yeah. I only have the same people who were like, and maybe it's the way I was posting. Maybe I didn't post right. But like, I just didn't want to spend my time trying to attract only one type of person on my page.
Right.
I want all different types of people who don't want to work out, who don't want to eat healthy, those who like don't, are not interested in that, because those people go through the same shit I'm going through too. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't want my page to be just fitness, because like, as much as they say, and this is like turning off to like a tangent, like part one of this episode, but
we usually catch up in the beginning, and this is like,
you're not just replacing
this recently. Yeah. So,
a lot of them say, like, when you're posting, like, make sure to include how you are as a person, like who you are, like your real life, your hobbies, if it's not like the MLM, whatever. Mm-hmm. And as much as we love to say that, like, you were able to tie in those parts, you always wanted to tie it back to the MLM. And so that was the thing that like drove me nuts, was like, I can't talk about like body positivity and then be like, let's go work out. Like, I need you to work out with me. Like, it's like, yes, like I like working out because it makes me feel good. It gives me a lot of benefits. But if I'm like posting about body positivity, but also trying to get people to join my workout program and drink shakes and all this stuff, it just feels like counterproductive to me.
Yeah. And so, I started to feel like sort of, I don't know, I kind of got uneasy, I guess, too, about not a lot of the things that I necessarily was saying, but a lot of the things that like MLM culture in general promotes. Like, I don't want to be in this constant state of like hustle anymore.
Yes.
And I don't believe that if you want something enough, you'll be able to go get it. Like, I believe that there is luck involved. I believe that there's privilege involved. I believe that there's timing involved. Like, I don't, to my core, I don't believe that if you want something enough, it will come to you. Like, I do think that if you put enough positive thought and positive energy and positive action into something, there's a better chance of that happening.
Yes,
for sure. There's a better chance, but there's not a guarantee with anything.
No.
Life on this planet that exists anywhere that we know of, like scientifically proven, that if you just put time into it and try at it, you'll be successful at it. Like, yeah. I can't think of a sport that's true for. I can't think of a job that's true for. I can't. So there were just a lot of things that even if I wasn't necessarily saying them and I wasn't necessarily putting that message out, I was like, I can't be lumped in with these people who do. And I can't be lumped in with these people who think that they own a business when they're a 1099 contract employee. Like, that is a very different thing. I will never, ever, ever say that I had my own business with Young Living. Like, I was a,
it was a business center within the company.
Yeah. I was a marketing partner or like something of that nature. Like, I ran my own marketing for that company.
Right.
But I myself wasn't my own company. And even if I'd gotten an LLC, like even if I'd gotten to the point where I needed to be Allison Carpenter Essential Oils LLC or whatever it was going to be, that still wouldn't make me a business owner. That would make me the owner of a limited liability corporation. It wouldn't make me the owner of a business where I have employees and I have like those people depend on me for their livelihood. And like, you don't have to insure your business if you're I don't know. There's just a lot of things that go into owning a business that don't apply to MLMs. And I just started to get this icky feeling in my stomach of like, I can't continue to run with this group of people who are saying things that just aren't true. Like, it's just not true.
Yeah. And essentially it's like, it's toxic positivity and it's like kind of brainwashy, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it's like, and like, no, like if you're still in an MLM and it's working for you, perfect. Like, keep going, keep doing it. Like, no hate, but like,
and we're not anti-MLM.
We're not anti-MLM. This is just like a tangent we're going off with.
This is just our experiences and the things that we felt. And we're saying like, if you feel this way right now and you're going through this right now, it's okay if you feel these things, you know?
Yeah. And like, there was a long time where I was questioning it and I just kept hearing like, well, if you just keep working, it'll happen. If you just keep going, it'll happen. Consistency is key and all these things. And I'm like, okay. And then I did it for like 2.5 years and consistency was not key. I was working my ass off to the point where like I was having mental breakdowns, which like, why?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, it just wasn't going to happen. It wasn't in the cards for me. I did all the trainings. I did all the calls. I did everything they said. I did personal development, all the things. And like, it just wasn't true. It just wasn't going to happen. It did go great for a while. Like, I got to the point where I wanted to be, but then for me, the thing that like set me back immediately was when I got to the point that I worked so hard to get to, and then two people wanted to stop, and I'm not a person that's going to try to convince them otherwise. And so I let them stop. And the impact that had on like where I had all, like I shot back a million steps back from where I had worked until. And I was like, just because two people changed their mind. And that's when I realized, like, that's when it clicked for me that I was like, this isn't like my thing at all. This is somebody else's thing.
Right. And like, even if I am making my own thing in this thing, the whole thing will never be mine. Like and again, there are a lot of people who like that they would thrive in that environment. And those are the people that do make millions of dollars in MLMs because they don't want to or can't do something that is like 100% on them, and they don't want to or can't work for somebody else. And so an MLM can be like a good option if you're somebody who has those resources and time to like spare on something like that, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it just wasn't for us, and that's okay. And that's like, there's so much other shit that's been going on since we recorded last, but I feel like that's like the main thing that we can sort of
actually talk about,
fill people in on right now. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It pretty much is.
So if you're going through the same thing, we feel you. We'll probably do a whole episode on this, honestly, in the future.
Even though we already have. How long has it been since we've been talking?
I know. Honestly, probably not that long. Probably like 10 or 15 minutes.
Okay, well, you're welcome for a little sneak peek of a future episode.
Yeah. But no, this week we are on episode 19, right? Because the last episode that we recorded was supposed to be 19.
So. Okay, yeah. So we had technically released 19 like episodes, but we have only, this is our 19th released recording.
Yeah. Because the last episode, all the re-releases, we've just been releasing as bonuses.
Oh, okay.
This is still technically 19. So sorry, everybody. We had to do a little bit of mental math.
The joys of legal stuff.
Yeah. And this week is a listener picked topic. It's from our listener, Megan Micklow.
Megan!
Pull up her, I know, right? You pull up her little at. She actually put that she did not want to be added. But she's an honorary 20 something. So if you feel like going down our page and finding her, you could if you wanted to. but she put in the listener suggestion that it may be fun to discuss writing professional emails, especially being a generation that grew up texting, being self-conscious about the amount of exclamation points used, or reminding yourself not to use LOL or haha, which I think is like a very relatable, I want to put haha at like the end of everything.
Me too. Or LOL. And like, I don't even know why I'm not laughing out loud. And honestly, I think LOL is chuggy.
I think honestly, I say LMAO, and I think that's way more chuggy than LOL.
Oh, I do too.
I've never been laughing my ass off. I can remember maybe five times in my life that I've laughed my ass off. So if I've texted you to that recently, just know I was lying. It was a lie. I wasn't laughing my ass off. Oh, no, it's okay.
If I'm like distracted, it's because Daisy's acting weird and I'm trying to make sure she's not dying because I have anxiety as a cat parent.
Yeah, no.
Anyways, okay, continue.
I was just going to say, I think we both were just going to share. I mean, neither of us are like professional writing experts.
No, I'm not like in communication or anything.
Yeah, I went to school originally for high school English education. I wanted to be a high school English teacher. So I have like a little bit of a background with like trying to teach people how to write professional writing. But
okay,
I'm not gonna like, I don't know. I feel like I don't wanna make this like a super instructional video and more of just a empowering you can do it, and like here are some things that have helped us, you know.
This is my experience with writing in the professional world.
Right,
take what you want, leave what you don't.
Exactly. So we had some listener responses. We asked everybody we asked everyone, do you get sweaty writing professional emails? And Jesslyn said, depends on who I'm writing to and how high up in the organization they are. Mm. Rose said, yes, always feel like I'm not wording it right. Larissa said, not anymore, which I think is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Tati said, if it's just an email, no, but writing a resignation letter or recommendation letter, then hell yeah, I get nervous.
Oh, God, that's so scary.
Same. And then I commented and said, yes, but only because I second guess everything that I type, which is true. I second
that is true.
Literally everything.
I didn't comment because I was Instacarting when all of this was going on.
Right.
So I'll answer now. So I am kind of at this point, I'm an HR and I'm a recruiter, and we work with like college students, but we're also like, I don't want to toot my own horn, but like our team is very important in the company, and we on the regular basis work with like executives and the CEO and like other people. Right. So I used to, but now I'm at a point where I'm kind of like, this is going to sound pretty bad, but like I type like a man because I was tired of being walked all over.
Yeah. No, seriously. Yeah. If people can smell like weakness through email, I swear.
So what I do, this is my advice. What I do is I originally like type it out. Okay. I just type and I'm like, you know, whatever. And we'll get into the details of like what I type, like how to type out a regular one as a girl. But then I like go back and I look at like how nice I am. And I'm like, instead of saying, I'm sorry for the delay, I say, thank you for being patient on the delayed response.
Yes.
Or patient. Yeah. Because that's what they say. That's right. What they say.
Or they just won't say anything and they'll be one word you will reply back 4 days later.
So I changed all exclamation points to a period.
Perfect.
Because maybe I'll do one at the end just to be like, let me know if you have any questions, like friendly. But like I stopped doing like I used to do like every other sentence as like an exclamation point. Mm-hmm. And I started doing just period, period, period. And at the end, if you have any questions, let me know. Ding.
Right.
Bow.
Yeah. So. And I have like started for a long time. I've done for my signature, just like best. And then my name mm-hmm. and my, because I'm like not playing any of these. Like, thank you so much. Have a great day.
No. We don't have time to cater to everybody else.
Right. It's the same email signature, the same sign off, every single best. I don't care. Greatest email I've ever written or the bitchiest email I've ever written. It's getting a best at the end.
And I think that is the best signature ending because when you're being nice, it's really nice.
Right.
Like it's like, wow, best. Mm-hmm. But when you're being like, ma'am, I've told you this a thousand times assertive, already. Yes. It's just the best because
it's like fucking good luck. I've done all I can for you.
Like best Valerie Burns. Cause it takes a turn. It's like, oh my gosh, per my last email, obviously I don't say, oh my gosh, but per my last email,
yes.
I had stated the best mm-hmm. Valerie Burns.
Yeah. And I feel like there can be a lot of confusion on like those, I guess, phrases that sound good in professional writing, like per my last email or, see previous responses or like whatever. And if ever you're at a crossroads where you're like, I don't know what, like how to word this professional thing. I promise you, if you just put it into Google and type in like professional ways to say, refer to the last email, there are so many Google lists to like help you out that are basically thesauruses of like, you want to say this, but type it like this in a professional email, you know?
Yeah. And that's a good idea because Google can actually, like, I always forget that Google is a thing. And whenever I do Google things for wording stuff, like on like cinnamons for suggest, like if you're looking for another word for suggest, just Google synonyms for suggest and you will find so many words and you're going to feel like a smart ass bitch because they have so many suggestions. So yeah, Google is your best friend when it comes to this, I think.
Yeah. So that's where the majority of my tips are going to come from, is just various things to Google. If you are trying to write a cover letter for a resume, Google professional cover letter template. If you're trying to write a letter of recommendation, Google professional letter of recommendation template. Like,
I don't know what,
so many out there.
I don't know what this tool that I found previously was, but it's basically a resume builder website. Mm-hmm. And you put in like the job you're applying for, you put in your skills, you put in the job description, and it helps you build a cover letter and resume. And oh my God. So my aunt, she's in HR, and I sent it to her a while back. She was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah.
So, and you do have to like buy your subscription, but you can just cancel the trial and then transfer it to Google Docs. That's what I did.
Yeah. Well, so there are so many things like that where you can like do a free trial or just pay like one time, like you can cancel the like recurring whatever fee and just take whatever templates you want out of it, or, you know, whatever. There are also people, like if you're someone who maybe you're entering a new field and you're gonna have to be writing a lot of professional emails that you're like, maybe you're not used to doing that. There are also people online that are professional writing coaches whose rates are really, really low, who can kind of like help ease you in if you really need that like individualized level of support where you're like, okay, well, the job I'm doing is super specific. I can't just Google templates for it. Like, there are people who will help you. And in a lot of cases, if you're like signing onto a new job and they know that you don't have a lot of experience, they might even cover some of those costs for you or split those costs with you and say like, okay, you need a little bit of training in this area. Like, we'll help you out with that. Or we'll at least like reimburse you for part of it or whatever.
Yeah.
I just always encourage people, if you feel like you have a relationship with your like superior or your employer where you feel like you can ask for resources like that, it's always better to just ask and be like, hey, I would do my job better if I had access to this thing. You know, usually your employer wants you to do your job better. And so if you can make a case for that, it's, you know, depending on the size of the company and how, what your budget is, they can sometimes help you out. I'm trying to remember what the, cause I think I've heard of that resume builder website you're talking about and I can't remember.
I think it actually might be called Resume Builder.
Oh, really?
I think so.
I've heard,
I think that's where those words came from my brain.
Well, I'm sure people can just Google it and find, you know, if it's not the same service you found, I'm sure there's others that exist like it.
And it was amazing. And then I was able to save it and then open it on Google Docs. And now I have that template forever.
Right.
So I just change it for, not that I'm applying like consistently for jobs, but like.
Right. You can tweak it in the future. Yeah. I think that's perfect. Yeah. The other online resource that I really like that I would recommend is Grammarly. I know that like, yeah, a lot of people do ads for them. And this is obviously not an ad and not sponsored or anything, but I have used Grammarly before and I do feel like it's worth it.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
If you're going to be writing a lot, if you're in college, I wish I heard about Grammarly when I was in college and I never
did it. And I knew about it.
It would have saved me so much time if I would have just like, I knew about it. I just didn't use it, you know? So if you're in college and you like have a couple extra bucks to spend, Grammarly is a really good resource and it's like stop shop for all those things, you know?
You can also just change the emails for what trial you're on with Grammarly.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that. I did that in college and it worked. You just have to remember to cancel the subscription because when that goes through and you are a college student who doesn't have money, you're screwed. So yeah. I will say, I'll give it to their customer service because I think I've called them two or three times and then like, I forgot to cancel my subscription. I'm broke. Help.
Aww.
And they immediately refund. So, you know,
that's good.
Yes. So shout out to Grammarly's customer service.
Yeah.
You helped a broke college student.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. And I feel like if you are a part of a university, like I know Kennesaw had like a writing center and things like that.
Yeah.
So if you do have access to any of those resources, even if you're not a part of a college, some community colleges will do like reduced cost literacy classes that can help you out with professional writing. You can look out for job fairs near you, because I'm sure people that are looking to help with resumes and professional writing hang out like at job fairs, or I guess with COVID, they're probably online now. But yeah, like, I don't know. I just feel like there are a lot of resources out there that people don't realize. And so they're probably just sitting behind their computer like, oh, how many exclamation points do I put? And, you know, it really can be as simple as Googling something like synonyms for blank or a template for blank. And if you're like in a new job and you're insecure about like what you're writing to people, you can literally just copy and paste a few different like form responses to things into like Google Docs or something, and just copy and paste and tweak them until you get used to that style of writing. And I will say that like professional writing in and of itself also is just kind of bullshit, because it's kind of just gatekeeping people who like aren't of a professional like class or dialect. So don't put like too much, I guess, like guilt or pressure on yourself if it doesn't come naturally to you right away, because it's professional writing is a system that is set up to fuck people out of being able to be professionals. So just keep that in mind. You're like not stupid if you can't grasp the concept, or if you like need a little bit of extra help. There's nothing wrong with that, because it's a system that's set up to oppress people. So don't worry if you need help.
I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, for sure. Like the whole, I can't remember exactly right now off the top of my head of where sincerely as a like a sign out came from. Mm-hmm. But it was basically something that was taken from like up like middle to upper class white people in like familiar letters to like your family and friends, and brought into the traditional like business, I guess, language or rhetoric, to pretty much like not allow Black people and people of color to like code switch into professional writing, if that makes sense. I'm not explaining it well because I've had a bunch of wine.
No, it makes sense. That makes sense.
It originally was a way to help people identify if the person applying to their job is a person of color or not. And that's like where cover letters
come it here.
From. Yeah. So
White people are such assholes.
Yeah. I learned a lot about, because even when I veered away from English education as my major, I sort of stuck in like English and things like that so that I could still graduate and not have to tack a bunch of extra credits that I needed onto my degree. Cause I basically just dropped all of the, I had only taken like 3 education specific credits at that point. So I just made them up over a summer for a different major. Anyway, that's a different story. But point of the story being, I learned a lot in like, I took a lot of linguistics classes and things like that, where we dug into like the history of some of this stuff. And I always felt crappy that like professional writing was something that I had to like work at and get good at. And now I feel comfortable with it, but it's also like a recognition that this doesn't come naturally to everybody. It comes naturally to very few people. And the only reason that it would is because you're raised in an environment where that type of dialect and that type of rhetoric is like taught and spoken in on a daily basis. And the fact of the matter is, even if you're like the most prim and proper, like whitest person in suburbia, you're probably not speaking in professional dialect anymore at your house. So even you probably still need a little bit of help, but yeah, I just want to like affirm that nobody's supposed to be good at professional writing off the bat. It's a system set up to oppress.
Crush that patriarchy too while we're at it.
I know. But I mean, when you think about it, like a lot of the things that we do as a culture just came from this system of like wanting to keep a certain group of people
oppressed.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Just if you're thinking about something and you're like, why isn't this coming naturally to me? Just remember that it could be the patriarchy. Yeah.
It always goes back to white men.
Right. Exactly.
Here. Let's just not talk professionally. Let's scratch the episode. We're not talking right. professionally.
Sorry, everybody. This is the second episode in a row we've recorded that we will not be releasing.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Use Google, use those templates because obviously it doesn't come naturally to anybody.
Yeah.
I just kind of like copy what people are saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just kind of match their energy.
Just mimic so, like, if a little somebody, bit.
Yeah. And like, this is something that happens in our workplace. I don't know if this happens anywhere else, but like, I'm just glad I've never said the name of the company before. they will like, do you know what Teams is?
Yeah.
Okay. So on Teams, you're able to like kind of instant message people and it just like goes ding. Mm-hmm. And then you get the message. Okay. Some people in this company that I work for, this mysterious one, they will just message me and say, Valerie. No hi, no how are
what?
You, no like I have a question, nothing, Valerie. So then I wait for like I listen, I know, mind blowing. And this is like a big company, okay, like this is huge. This is why I've never said the name of it before. And so I'll wait for like a second message because like maybe they're like, I have a quick question for you. Here right. you go. Teams chat is more casual. It is definitely more casual. But like for someone I've never spoken to before, like as a recruiter, people are always asking me questions, like older people, richer people, like students, like everyone. And so they just message me Valerie. And every time they do that, I really just want to respond with their name, like the same exact way that they gave it to me.
Right.
And be like, Kevin. What would they say then? What would they say?
Well, and my thing is like, what are they expecting you to say?
I always just say, hi. Like when they like treat me with like that level of respect, I just say, hi, H-I, no punctuation. Hi, what do you want? Because it's rude.
It's rude.
And I'm sorry, but like the only people that do that are white men.
Yeah. And guess what? It's okay older to men. Say that.
I just don't want to make, I don't know. Anyways.
No, I men, feel you. Like there are some things that you're like, in my life, the only person that I've experienced doing this.
Coincidence?
Is white men. And like, I don't think it's, if that's what you've experienced, that's what you've experienced, you know?
It's always a white male. And they just like, no, when I message somebody, even on Teams, I'll be like, hey, Allison. Yeah. Hey, Allison, I have a quick question for you.
Right.
That's all I have to say. And then when they respond, you say, blah, 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 insert question here. Like, you don't have to be rude.
Even if we were in the office, you wouldn't just shout, Valerie. Like, you'd be like, hey, Valerie. Or you'd be like, Valerie, I have a question. Like, you wouldn't, hey, you, Valerie, wow. Like, no, you wouldn't be doing that.
And then that response wouldn't be Allison. Like, and there's no punctuation. There's no exclamation point. They're not yelling. They're just saying my name.
Right. Valerie.
I'm like, what?
Are you doing this to everybody else in the chat right now, Kyle?
I'm like, if you had to talk to like an executive leader, would you just message them with their name?
Valerie.
Valerie.
This is,
I don't think so.
Right.
I don't
I would
think
be like, so, this Chad. Is corrupt and nobody asked for this. Okay.
So anyways, to my original point, I try to meet the energy of how people are contacting me. Mm-hmm. If they are just contacting you saying, Allison, you should respond and say, Valerie. And match their
Don't, but don't say their name. Say Valerie.
Valerie. Just say Valerie. No, match their energy. And what you can do is, like, I don't know if you're on, like, if anyone's on, like, a corporate team. Like, usually people are on, like, a team of people that they work with. Get, like, the vibes of your team. Like, if you're new within a company, get the vibes of your team and how they talk to other people. And then if you just, like, constantly pay attention to how they are communicating, you will pick things up. Like, the best that was picked up from somebody I, like, work very closely with. Mm-hmm. And so I just kept saying best, and then it just stuck. And so that's my signature end line.
Yes. The person that I used to nanny for used to, like, email me my pay stubs every week.
Uh-huh.
And she wouldn't put any body of the text. It would just be the attachment of my pay stub and then best. But no, like, she would forget to insert the signature or, like, her name or anything. So it would just be the attachment of my pay stub and the word best. And that was it.
You're like, okay, thank you.
And so that was the first time I saw it. And I was like, if she were using this correctly, it would be a good
great signature ending. I mean, I don't like thanks. I don't like thank you.
No, nope.
Because it's like, when in the situation where it is kind of like you have to be kind of get your shit together, thanks doesn't really, like, nope. I don't know. It just doesn't add up.
People already think I'm too nice because I'm a petite white woman. And so I'm not trying to do anything that makes them think I'm more nice, because I'm not. I'm less nice than you think.
Do you work with a lot of, like, white men?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I always, I just always have. And
this I do too. It's terrible. Okay. This is your challenge. I'm giving you homework, Allison. You're going to start typing your emails like a man.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Are you already doing that?
I do work with a lot of white men, but they're contractors for us. And so I don't send them a lot of emails, but I do give them, like, they have to, because they're all 1099 contractors, they sign a little thing every week and then we give them their paycheck. I'm going to stop putting nice sticky notes on top of their little stacks of paychecks. I'm giving you your money. You don't need a nice note from me.
Would they do that to you? Would they add a nice sticky note? No.
No, they wouldn't. In fact, these men, some of them are so, I'm not even going to get into it, but some of them just love wasting my time. They love wasting my time, man. And I am just, every single time I'm like, you're going to have to wait for your check then, because I'm not waiting here 45 motherfucking minutes for you to meet me for your check, buddy. We said we would be here at 1 and it is 1:45 and you are not picking up your phone.
Oh yeah. You got to stop leaving the notes, because you know what? You could be using your time making yourself a coffee. Go getting a nice coffee from Starbucks. You could be going to the bathroom, drinking some extra water. So many things that you could be doing for Allison. And you are doing it for these men and making sticky notes to make their day. What's making your day? Not them. So
therapy over my lunch break.
Therapy. Yeah. But now you'll have an extra few seconds of your day because you're not doing the sticky notes.
Yeah.
But if you do continue in sticky notes, that's okay too.
I definitely agree that. I think I started doing them because I, like, wanted to get on their, like, not their good side, but, like, contractors, I don't know if you know, but, like, a lot of them like to start working on a project and then just stop showing up for the project. And so we were in a period of, like, a lot of that going on, just a lot of turnover. And so I think I was trying to, like, be like, please, like, stay with our company, please.
Okay, well, maybe just only do it for the new ones.
Yeah.
And then after, like, 2 weeks, just stop.
I was going to say, I think from now on, I'm just going to, like, put one, like when there's somebody new and be like, hi, I'm Allison and I handle a lot of the HR stuff and hope you had a good first week. Here's my number if you need anything. Like that's usually what it is like, if you have questions about your paycheck, you know, text me. But they should have like, if you don't have that number by now, and I've been giving you a post-it note on it for weeks and you have like, they have access to the project manager who I talk with every single day. So if they really needed me for something, I wouldn't even have to be giving them my number because they could figure out how to contact me if they needed to, you know? Yeah. So it's just me trying to be extra nice and I don't need to be doing that.
You're just a nice person and that's okay. If you continue the notes, it's fine. Don't feel bad about it. But like, I just think you could also be nice to yourself.
No, I agree. I think like, you know how as a woman, you just start doing something and then you're like, I don't want to let people down.
And then like, it just becomes like, once you do something nice for somebody, to me, I don't know if this happens to you, but like, to me, it feels like a responsibility I need to keep. Like, it's like, I need to keep being nice. I need to keep like, you know, doing these nice things for these people.
Right.
And like, I don't know if that's like a personality thing, a woman thing. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
For me, it's like, I don't want to let them down, you know?
Yeah. It's like, and this is like, it's so funny because I had to do like a presentation about fear of failure. And I was like, this is the worst time in my life for me to do a presentation on that. But like, okay. And it's like a fear of like failing to like be the best like coworker, be the best like employee who's like reporting under, you know, like, I don't know. I've always been the type of person who like wants to be like the staple employee, like the perfect one. And so,
yeah, I think like Jason and I were talking this morning before he went to work and we were talking about the concept of like, I don't know if this ever happens to you, but I've been in jobs before where people will be like, well, I've been here since 7 a.m. Well, I've been here since whatever. And I told him, I was like, I don't think that exists anywhere else in the world but America. Do people brag about how much extra time they spent at their job today?
They like try to log off early and stuff.
Yeah. Other countries try to have like a healthy relationship with their job. And we're just like, oh, I've been here since 5 a.m. And before then I was answering emails at 3. And
America's so obsessed with like the hustle. And it's like, well, what about like living life?
It's not it, you guys. It's not
all that. I gotta be honest. Like, no.
Yeah. So if you're feeling the same ways, if you're feeling like work life is hard to navigate to begin with, and now you have to do all this professional writing, just remember, nobody's supposed to be good at it. And Google and other online resources are your best friend and they're nothing to be ashamed of. So
the three main points of this episode, are you ready for a summary?
Yes.
In summary, I'm not going to say it like that. Type like a man, first off. Second off, resources. Use Google, use those like platforms that have the templates, do the trials, change your email, cancel the trial, start a new trial. you know, balling on a budget.
Dodge paying for things as much as you can.
The third one, I had it in my head.
Oh no.
Wait, the third one was, okay, type like a man, resources, and...
Is it nobody's supposed to be good at?
Oh, yes. Yes. It doesn't come naturally. It's an oppressive system anyways. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah. There we go. But if you are somebody who enjoys that style of writing, again, we're not saying
you
enjoy it. And if you're a coach for that style of writing and you help other people, thank you. Yeah. So don't feel like, you know, I don't want people to hear that and think like, oh my gosh, I'm a professional writing coach. Am I contributing
to
it? No.
We're saying it's rooted from a terrible thing.
We're saying don't feel bad if you're not good at it off the bat. And if you are, then that's one less thing you have to worry about and use your talents to help other people, you know?
Yep, exactly.
You're fighting the oppression by being available to help people. So thank you.
Exactly. So yes, good job.
Well, if you would like to give me your best professional writing samples and let me critique them like a English teacher who's only had 2 years of education training.
Okay, but 2 years is a lot. I'm just
2 years more than you have, Val. No, I'm just kidding.
No facts, though. I just copy what everyone else says. That's all I do.
Oh, but if you'd like to do that, I don't know why you would, but if you would, you can do that at Allison R. Carpenter on Instagram. That's at AllisonRCarpenter. And if you want to answer the question on our podcast, if you haven't already, if you want to keep an eye out for next week's question, you can do that at ThisIs20Pod on Instagram. That's at ThisIsTwentyPod.
And then if you would like to see if I'm okay, you can do so at at val.burns. That is at val.burnes.
Yes, and we will talk to all of you next week. I know right now is Pride Month. You're probably like, we got through a whole episode. You're not going to address Pride Month. Next week's episode is going to be like completely Pride-centered. So we are just going to wait until then to talk about all of it. But we hope you enjoyed June's listener suggestion episode, and we'll be back at you next week.
All right. We will talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to This Is 20-Something. We have new episodes every week, and they are available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. If you'd like to show your support for this podcast, head to anchor.fm/thisis20pod and press the support icon. You can follow us on Instagram at thisis20pod, and if you really love us, you'll find the nearest iPhone user and have them give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. That is where 80 to 90% of listeners in the market find new podcasts, so leaving us as many reviews and ratings as you can really does help us spread the word. See you next week.